6 years ago this week, Abundant Life held its first service. It just happened to fall on the very day that Brenda and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary. So on our 10th anniversary, Abundant Life Church was born, and that was 36 years ago. Our first service, we had 107 people in attendance, and our offering was $711. And that was 36 years ago this week. My text this morning is we give God glory for His goodness on our church. That involves every one of us. For 36 years, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, most familiar. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To Him be glory in the church. If I only had a few words to say that would summarize 36 years of blessings and favor and the goodness of God displayed on our local church, it would be those words, to God be glory in the church, because He is the one that's brought the increase. Now, if you've never met a blessed man in your life, if you've been looking throughout the face of the earth and have yet to find a blessed man, look no further, look at me. I am a most blessed man. I'm blessed and I'm happy. I don't know of any man that's happier than I am. And the reason is because I am grateful. I realize that I am the happiest when I am the most grateful. You can't stay miserable and pitiful long if you give God glory for His goodness. And today we celebrate His goodness for 36 years over our church family. Now, part of my comments this morning is my own personal testimony. You know it already. I nearly drowned at age 12, lost consciousness in the Atlantic Ocean, and was rescued by the Coast Guard. Then, in my lifetime, I have survived an earthquake in California, a tornado in Tennessee. On this historic day, 9/11, 21 years ago, Brenda and I were spared, although we were at Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C., with tickets in hand for our final flight home, when an airplane from that very airport that had just taken off from the same terminal where we are on the same airline we were flying, was hijacked and flown into the Pentagon. God has seen us through all that. I've even come face to face with a bear in the woods. I have. I got a picture, me and a bear. I have had a wonderful life and still do. I have never had a complaint to file with God, ever. That doesn't mean my life has been pressure-free or trouble-free or critic-free or attack-free. Hasn't. But God has brought me through everything I have ever been through. And the same is true about you, or you would not be here right now. He's brought us through everything. My life at my age, and I'm still a young man, has been adventurous and fulfilling. And it's hard to draw a distinction between my personal testimony and the history of our church, because for well over half of my life, I've had the honor of serving this church as pastor. It is the great privilege of my lifetime. I am grateful for it every day. I don't care what church it would be. I don't care how large it would be. I don't care how big the salary might be that I could be offered anywhere. I wouldn't even need to pray about it. I am where God has called me, and so are you. And today we celebrate that. Now, I've been in the parables lately, as you know. I love the parables in a fresh way because they were stories Jesus told. He was a storyteller, and the stories he told were simple, but yet every parable that Jesus told was an illustration of a kingdom principle. He explained to his followers exactly how the kingdom of God operated. That was his purpose in sharing parables. Now, even a couple of Sundays ago, I read these verses to you about the parable of the small seed that grows up. I want to read it again, and I want you to hear it today as Abundant Life Church was once that small seed, and how that over time it has grown up and become greater. Jesus gives that illustration and says, for such is the kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. And it's in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. Everybody say, grow. He himself does not know how. I can look back 36 years ago and remember the seed of that first service in the small days. And I can say to you today, looking back, I don't know how it has grown like it has. Even the farmer who plants the seed does not know how increase and growth come from the seed. And then Jesus said, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that, notice the timeline, the time lapse, and the increase in growth that comes only with time. First, then, and after that, Jesus said, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. In verse 30, Jesus goes on to tell another parable to prove the same point. Then Jesus said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? Now, you've heard it said, and I mentioned it. Many people say one picture is worth a thousand words. But in the kingdom, one word from God can paint a thousand pictures. Jesus said, what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? And then he said, it is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. I want to stop there for just a minute and ask you the question, what's going on in your life, what's going on inside you or around you, under your roof, at your house, with your family, what's going on that is such a small and insignificant thing right now? It would be easy to overlook it and not pay any attention to it. Like a mustard seed, smaller than all the seeds on earth. I remember when our church was the smallest thing on earth, it seemed. Jesus said, but when the seed is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, something began 36 years ago. It was the smallest thing I could imagine. But over time, I don't know how it happened. I can't tell you the day it happened. But give God time with that little thing that He's doing in you, or that small thing that seems insignificant and inconsequential in your children that you're praying in, or your grandchildren. That thing that's so small right now, smaller than anything in the world. You can't think of anything smaller than this little seed right here. And you give God some time with that seed. You do what you need to do with the seed and let God bring increase to it. I can't tell you the day it happened, but now 36 years after, our church was nothing but the smallest thing on earth, like that mustard seed. After 36 years now, it's like the kingdom of God. And Jesus said it grows up and becomes greater and becomes a huge tree, smaller than all, or greater than all the trees, and enough room under this tree for birds of the air to find shade. We began as a small thing. We have grown up and become greater. And now our local church family is like that great tree with the branches stretching out, and the branches are the nations of the world that we are connected to through missions. Now, it's appropriate for me to thank everybody, because I am the most aware that the blessing of God on this church is not because I'm your pastor. I know of better men and women, greater, more talented than me. And somehow God has chosen me to be with you and for you to be with me. So I thank every one of you for the part you're playing. Some of you, a few of you, were here on day one and have been here all along. Many of you are new and you've gotten on board during the 36 years. We believe God sent every one of you. We believe He is pleased to plant you here among us. I want to start with calling my wife's name. Her name is Louise. Or Evelyn. I've never called her Brenda. It's always sweetheart or dear, really. Even when nobody's listening, that's what I call her. But if I ever do put a name to it, I make sure not to put Brenda. I just give her any other woman's name. And just we have fun that way. And did I tell you we give each other accolades lately? Did I mention that? You should do that with your husband or your wife. I mean, every day I'll think of something to commend her about if I have to dream it up. So, accolades, darling. Accolades on that cup of coffee you just brought me. It was just the right amount of cream. Accolades to you. So give commendation away. It feels great to do it. But she's been my life partner, not only in marriage, but an equal partner in ministry. With me. This woman right here has followed me everywhere in the world God has ever called me, and it's been all over the world. Not only has she followed me and gone with me, but it was harder for her than me. It's harder for a wife and a mother to pick up two small children and move to the other side of the world and live in a different culture. Easy for a man, harder for a wife and a mother. But she has done that. Not only gone with me, and supported me and been an equal partner with me in ministry. But many times she's been the one that privately spoke the word of God to me that confirmed what he was saying. She's always had the wisdom and the respect never to do it publicly. But I know what's coming whenever it's just me and her. And she says, "Darling, now I've been praying about whatever, and you know, I think, you know." She's the one who said to me at home privately, "Darling, you left your heart in Latvia. And if you can't get back to normal, we're going to have to move over there. You need to go talk to Bishop Miles." And I heard God speak when this woman spoke. She is a treasure to me. And I honor you today. Thank you for this adventurous and fulfilling ride you've taken with me. You have made it so much easier than me. And then, yes, he deserves it. And then I want to say, over 36 years, I have never done much alone. I've always had great staff, always. And today, greater than ever, I want to say thank you to Steve Osborne, our executive pastor, and his wife, Lori, who is busy ministering. Accolades, Pastor Steve. This man makes my life so much easier and your life richer as well. He ministers. He serves people. He's well connected. If you've got anything that needs to be done, he knows who to do it. And just as called as I am. And I honor you today, Pastor Steve. Over 20 years you've been here. We've never had an argument. Brenda says it's because he knows how to handle me. That's what Brenda said. And if that's true, it really is true, because I love and appreciate you and thank God for you and Lori and what y'all have meant to our church. Over 20 years now they've been on staff. I mean, we're showing our age up here, all of us today. But not only them associate pastors, but every department we have in the church, every leader, everybody you see up here on our praise team, singers, musicians, everybody you don't see who work behind the scenes as hard as any of us to make a service happen and a church healthy and happy. I'm grateful. I'm so aware that if it was just me, I wouldn't even bother coming. It takes an army, and God has put together a great local church, and that includes all of you. I'm also grateful today for everyone who attends, worships with us on live stream, and gives in offerings. I just thank you because you have been faithful, and you deserve on this special day when we're giving God glory in the church for all he's done in 36 years. I thank him for every one of you, every member and every friend of Abundant Life. Now, over the years, our spiritual authority has increased, and so have our responsibilities. I mentioned last Sunday, you can never separate authority from responsibility. Some people want authority, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with authority. And so we have grown up as a church. We have begun as the smallest thing, and now we've grown up into a full body, into the full stature of the measure of Christ. Abundant Life Church is a strong and mature local church at full age now, and God has been faithful. Now, Ephesians 2:19 describes where we are as a local church body on this special day. "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows. Everybody say grows. There is that word again. Grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. There we see the kingdom principle again many times. Time after time, Jesus gathered his followers around and said, now how can I explain the kingdom of God in a way you... And then he would share a story that was so simple, and the audience got it. And the one thing he stresses in the parables about the kingdom of God, and it speaks to us as a church now that's 36 years old, is the small thing grows up and becomes greater. One will water, one will plant. God gives the increase and causes the growth. Now, God's favor, and I'm so serious when I say this, has always rested on our church corporately. The favor of God. Everybody in our city and beyond knows that the goodness of God has been displayed in our church. Even business people in the community call us the Walmart Church. So the favor of God has rested corporately, and I want to give you something right now. It belongs to every one of you individually. If you're connected or associated with our church, and all of you are, you wouldn't be here right now. The same favor of God that has rested on us corporately, every member of the body is in a position to enjoy that same favor in your individual life. God has blessed me individually. I'm a blessed man. And he has blessed all of us corporately as the body of Christ. So cash in on that. If you feel like God has never favored you, never given you a break, then hold him to this principle. Oh, Lord, that good thing you started in me, that small thing when it started, it's growing up. You're giving increase to it. That thing that was the smallest in all the world is now such a large thing that it provides for other people. Now, God, I expect your favor to be real in my life because it is. On his children. The Holy Spirit leads us. I've had a sense of his leading in my life, in the will of God. And he's given grace to me when I've needed it. That makes it easy to follow him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not superhuman. I'm not a superhero. I'm not a spiritual giant. I can look out here and see some in the audience here that, in my estimation, would be... more mature spiritually than I am. I'm still growing. But hello, I'm growing. God's giving increase. It was a small thing, but it has grown up and has become greater. And there's some mantras I've lived by, and I've preached them. One is, I've always preached this, that it's easy to hear from God. And that it's hard to miss him when he speaks. I've always given that to you. Because there are many who grow up in traditional church settings and they're never given that truth. And so it's easy to live your entire lifetime, even if you're in church, in some churches, to where you think, well, God is so auspicious and so distant and so far away, and then here I am, and who am I to hear him speak? Well, I've always preached that it's easy to hear from God, and I've lived my life that way. Now, have I been mistake-free? No. Have I failed? I certainly have. And do I have some things I would do differently if I could? Yeah, I do. But I don't dwell on regrets very long. I ask for forgiveness, and he gives it. And then I don't bring it up anymore because he can't remember what I'm talking about. I hope you're in on that too. But the words, the lyrics to a song I sort of like, even though they're not in the Bible. This is a secular song recorded, I think, first by Frank Sinatra and then Elvis Presley and many other people. But the song is My Way. And, of course, I don't want this sung at my funeral. But there's a line in that song that says, regrets, I've had a few. Yet then again, too few to mention. So I don't live looking in the rearview mirror much. Oh, it's there for a purpose, and I take advantage of it. But I'm interested in moving forward, and even though I do have some regrets, too few to mention or at least dwell on for a long period of time. Let go of any regrets. I've always preached this, that faith takes a risk. You can't live by faith without taking a chance and a risk. That's what the life of faith is all about. Faith requires not knowing how. And I've been on that journey most of my life, not knowing how God is going to do this or that at the other. And as I look back at my life now, after 36 years as pastor of this great church, I can see where God has led me many times to be at the right place at the right time. I had nothing to do with it. It was providential. And you have stories like this if you'll consider your life. See how God has led you through pivotal moments. There have been a few times in my life I was at the right place at the right time, and I can't take credit for any of it. Once was when I was an 18-year-old young man, not knowing what I would do with my life, and I was able to cross paths with the one man on earth who could pick up his phone and call Laverne Tripp and give Laverne my name. Laverne had never met me, but he hired me. And for 12 years, I've worked for his ministry and traveled the world with him. I was an 18-year-old boy. He hired me and took me to Israel first thing. Now, what an experience. That was one of the times I got saved. I was a mess. I had to get it more than once. I'm not sure. I was baptized in the River of Jordan, and so, you know, I'm going to claim that one. That was the time it took right there. You know I'm kidding, but I was at the right place at the right time. And then went to work for Laverne Tripp and worked with him for 12 years, and this man who was a world evangelist, a soul winner, he taught me the value of a soul. I've seen that man. I've been in crusades with him all over the world, and he would sing and preach and give an invitation, and I've been in services where hundreds came forward to receive Christ at the invitation he gave. And then I remember many times he would spend 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours with one person who was troubled in order to see them delivered and set free and born again. He taught me the value of a soul. He also taught me how small the world is and how great the Great Commission is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then another time I was at the right place at the right time over the course of my life was concerning my pastor, Houston Miles. Brenda and I were living in Spartanburg, and the biggest church in town was a charismatic church, the fastest growing church in the state. Houston Miles was the pastor, and we found ourselves that I don't ever remember asking Houston Miles, will you be my pastor? It was a God thing. All of our married life, he has been our pastor. And then when I was ordained in ministry to become a pastor 36 years ago, Bishop Houston Miles is the one who ordained me into ministry, as he has done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other men and women over his lifetime in many nations of the world. The right place at the right time. It was God ordered. I had nothing to do with it. And then I remember when we moved to Florence to start our church. The first building we rented was an old church. It was empty. The congregation had relocated, built a nice church, and this old property, their former building, had been on the market for sale for 18 months and had not sold. I remember looking at that building saying, oh, what a blessing it would be if we could have our first service, if we could start our church in this building. Oh, but there's that sign, it says for sale, and I don't have a dollar, and I don't have any members. Faith always takes a risk. Faith always requires not knowing how. So I stayed away from that sign for 6 weeks. I said, oh no, I was intimidated. It was, I think, fear. Every time I thought, oh, I could call that number on that sign. No, it's for sale. I'd be rejected. Have you ever feared that you'd be rejected? So I put it off and put it off until finally something happened in here, and I knew I need to call about that building right now. So I picked up the phone and called that number and told the man, I just moved from California, and we're going to start a church, and we're interested in renting that building. And the man heard me out and said, that building's been for sale for a year and a half. And our church board met a year and a half ago, and we decided that we would not rent it, that it would be for sale. And he said, we've had over 24 people call over these months wanting to rent it, and our answer has been to everyone, nope, it's not for rent, it's for sale, thanks for calling. He said, but Carl, it's interesting you call me today. He said, 2 days ago, our insurance company contacted us about that property and said they will no longer carry the coverage on that property to insure it while it's empty. And so we've been scrambling yesterday to try to figure out what. You'd be doing us a favor to rent that building from us. And I said, well, you're welcome. The right place at the right time. That was also the case when I was at a pastor's conference in Atlanta many years ago and crammed into an elevator with ministers and church leaders from all over the country, and all of us had a badge with our name and our city on it, and got in this elevator and didn't know anybody, and one man across from me was Dr. Ron Cottle, and I saw his tag, and he saw mine and said, Florence, South. He said, Florence, South Carolina. I've heard of that place. We got out of the elevator and began a relationship. And bottom line is, he's the founder of Christian Life School of Theology and Beacon University and two earned doctorates, an Assembly of God pastor. He used to pastor First Assembly here in Florence. Talk about small things. Growing up and becoming greater. Now he's educated tens of thousands of pastors and church leaders all over the world. 2,000 in Pakistan online, where it's an Islamic country. And so immediately I said, well, Dr. Cottle, I pastor a church, and I've never had a vision for a kindergarten through 12th grade. I've never really had that in my heart, but I've always had in my heart a Bible college. I'd like for our church to have a Bible college. And he said, that's what we do. We have the faculty. We can send the professors in. You can become an extension campus. And for 12 years, our church was an extension campus of Christian Life School of Theology, and I was blessed with my doctorate degree from that school, and about three dozen pastors from all over the area would spend 10 hours a month here and then take a 100-question test that was computer-graded, and they've gone on to get their theology degrees. We became a hub for ministry training. It just changed like that, all because I was in an elevator at the right time and the right place. I mean, I have a lifetime of stories like that. He has spoken clearly many times to me. And when I say to me, I mean he also speaks to you. Here's how he has spoken to me and to you. First of all, from his word. You can't go wrong with that. I remember as a young man needing to hear God speak, and I didn't know anything to do but just to get up and read the Bible. And in the middle of the night, one night, we were living in Spartanburg, I got up and read the entire book of Ephesians, knowing, God, you got something to say, and I'll know it when I hear it. And I just, when I got to the fourth chapter in the first verse, it was there. And God said to me, from his word, walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling to which I've called you. I knew that was God pulling me up. It was him speaking to me. In the book of Isaiah, in the New Living Translation, my wife Evelyn gave me this one night. It was God speaking to me from his word. And the New Living Translation said, one day late in June when I was 30 years old, suddenly I saw visions from heaven. And that was God saying to me, he was about to do something. I was 29 years old in 11 months. And my birthday was June 24th. One day late in June, when I was 30 years old, suddenly God gave revelation to me from his word. And then he spoke to me, and it changed my life for a year, and actually for 30 years now. When I had visited the former Soviet Union and came home and was dysfunctional, my heart was over there. The people without a pastor, communism was over. They were hungry for God. I had just been there for 5 days and saw all of that. And he spoke to me from Jonah, chapter 4 and verse 11, the story of God calling a man to a city and him resisting that call. God said in Jonah 4:11, here again, God speaking to me from his word, God said to Jonah, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city of 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left? And the city I had just visited, Liepāja, Latvia, had a population of 120,000 and the people wore their wedding bands on the wrong hand. When I read that, I mean, I do not want to hear any of you ever say, I wish God would speak to me. He never has spoken to me. Get in the book. He will speak. Stay in here until you hear him speak. You can't go wrong. He speaks from his word. And then he has spoken to me at times by the Spirit. Now, it takes some increase. It takes some using this gift. I think the writer of Hebrews said, by reason of use, we become mature. By exercising, by using our spiritual gifts, our faith as it is. So as you practice your faith and use your faith, you will get better and better at hearing the Spirit speak to you and lead you. Such was the case when we were facing moving to California and didn't really want to go. And the Spirit spoke to us, again through my wife as she was praying. I gave her that delegated responsibility. I said, darling, I can't hear God speak right now. Maybe he'll speak to you. And actually, I was a little upset when I said it. And neither one of us wanted to move to California. And about 10 minutes later, I heard her say, "Darling, we need to pack our boxes and move." And to hear her say that right then was a shock to me. I said, "What would make you say that?" And she said, "Well, I was praying about it, and I believe I heard the Lord say." Now, you have to be careful with this. It's by reason of practice and by reason of use you have these gifts exercised to discern good from evil. Some things only come with time and with practice and with usefulness, such as the case with spiritual gifts. You say, "I believe I heard the Lord say, if you'll move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life." And when I heard her say that, I could not wait to pack boxes and move to California. Because a difference one word makes from God. He has spoken to me all my life from His Word and by His Spirit. And then He's spoken to me at times through a word of wisdom. Now, somebody says, if you can hear wisdom speak, that's the same thing as hearing God speak. And one time He spoke to me and to us through a word of wisdom. Came through our bishop, Houston Miles, who saw our old property on House Springs Road and knew we were planning to build another building there and never build any more, just stay there. And he said, "You might want to pray about a better location before you invest any more money in building here." And it wasn't a legislated thing. He didn't whip out his credentials and strap it on me. Or it was just a word from God and spoken naturally, not with any religious trappings at all, but said, "You might want to pray about it." He said, "When an oil company builds a gas station, they get the best location. And if it's important for a gas station to be in a good location," Bishop Miles said this to me in my car, "it's important for a church, don't you think?" He added those words, "Don't you think?" I said, "Well, yeah, I think so." That one instruction, that one word of wisdom is why we're on this property right here instead of down there forever. And we would never have known the financial blessing Walmart gave us if we had stayed there. But God spoke through a word of wisdom. And then He's spoken through prophecy to me and to our church many times. Early in the life of our church, the prophecy was given to me as we were planting that small thing. "If you will receive those that other churches may not want," God said, "I will send you the people that every church would want." And we've lived by that. And then look how that small thing has grown up and become greater. All of you would be an asset to any church in Florence. But the fact that God has you here makes us a blessed church family. You're the people every other church would want and would welcome, but you're more welcome here than you could possibly be anywhere else. That was a word of prophecy. Then another prophetic word came to our church. I wasn't even there when it was given. It was a Sunday morning. We were down on House Springs Road, and Bill Godwin was a guest speaker. I was in another nation. When Brenda picked me up at the airport on my way back, she said, "Darling, I got the cassette queued up right here in the car. Bill Godwin preached Sunday, and he prophesied over the church, and I have it ready for you to hear." And she pressed play, and I heard the prophetic word Bill Godwin gave our church that said, "I see finances pouring into this church." And then he said this, "Not just a trickle, but like a flood." It was a prophetic word. And it came to pass because of the Walmart miracle. For those of you who may be visiting or turning the dial, don't know where you landed, we were going to build our new building where Walmart now is. And bottom line is they gave us four times what we had just financed to pay for that. property. It changed everything about it. And the whole town knew that Walmart had blessed our church. We've always been favored. It seems that some things have come more easily to our church than to many other churches. And we have every reason to be thankful for that. And then Bishop Miles gave me a word privately. He said, "Carl, I've never had a problem trusting God for the finances that would be necessary to do the work of the ministry." And when I heard this giant of a man, an humble man, say, "I've never had a problem believing God for finances for the church," I said to myself, "I want that kind of faith. I want it to work for our church too. If my pastor and if our bishop can have that kind of faith to trust God for finances for the church to do everything he would call us to do, if he can do it for our bishop, I want that kind of faith too." So I've lived my life that way. I've trusted God on that edge. And I can say to you, we're a blessed church financially. And at the same time, I thank you because you're a part of that. Every one of you that gives is a part of that. Now, not only has God provided for every need we've had here at home, everything you see on these 12 acres, debt-free. Again, because of God's favor and because of your faithfulness, we had our good first location. When that season was up, we went to our second location, and the businessman who owned it took his key ring off after I looked at it and said, "You know, I think it'll work for a church. How much do you want for it?" He said, "It's free." And he took his key off and handed it to me. He said, "You can use it as long as you want to for the glory of God. It's free." We were there for 2.5 years, and then we were able to buy our third location, which was our first purchase of property. And then this is our fourth, and I say final. Final location. We'll stay here until we go to heaven. But not only has he provided for every need we've had here, but in Latvia for these past 30 years. The church we started there. And thank you for sowing me into that nation like a farmer sows a seed. It was a small thing, but it grew up and became greater. And then Nicaragua, another sign of God's goodness, is Brian and Millie Hudson, who grew up in our church. They're our homegrown missionaries, and for the past 22 years, they have served as full-time missionaries. And here's our church. We're different. We're not in a denomination. We don't have a headquarters other than God, and we do have delegated relationships that are from God through, I'm ordained through Evangel Fellowship International. Our bishop founded that. Here's our church has Brian and Millie on our payroll. What other church? I don't know of another church that does that. I mean, maybe there are others. There are denominations that do that. But you folks, us, those of us here, our church family, part of what we do with our money is keep Brian and Millie on the mission field. And we don't know how many churches they have planted in that nation. And then there's India. I could call a lot of nations, but we support 6 pastors in India. Very little amount of our money. It's all they need all month long there. And they needed transportation. The pastors of the churches a few years ago. And I thought, oh God, here it comes. They're going to want cars. And they said, a bike would really be a blessing. So we bought 6 bikes and said, thank you, Jesus, that they think a bike is a blessing. And then Vietnam. I wasn't in the military, but I did go over for a pastor's conference with our bishop. Travis Matthews was with me on that trip, and it was an illegal conference. It was 2 months after 9/11, and nobody wanted to fly. And I had told our bishop, I thought, oh, surely he's going to cancel. Nobody wants to fly. And, oh, God, the world is in a mess. It was that time. So I called him 2 weeks before we were to fly to Vietnam. I said, Bishop, I just wanted to see, is everything still set? Or have you thought about canceling since everything in the world is going on like it is? And here was our sweet bishop. He said, Carl, you know what? We're going to have a great time. I said, well, okay then, let's go. So we went, and it was a three-day illegal underground pastors conference. About 300 pastors from all over Vietnam had come together, and the police raided the conference on the second day and confiscated our passports, and we thought, well, we didn't know what, they tried to intimidate us. They would look at us with that, I can put you in jail for 10 years or whatever. But after about 30 minutes, they gave us our passports back and said if we would leave town right then, they wouldn't put us in jail. So y'all know what we did, right? We left town. We went on back to Saigon and then eventually back home. And then church planting has been a part of our church life. To God be glory in the church today. We don't know how many churches we've helped plant. Now, we do know some. We know Pastor B.J. Wiley and his wife Julie. They were our youth pastors for a while. We knew all along the day would come he'd go back to his hometown in West Virginia and plant a church, and he did, and we helped him get there. And Albert and Nancy Grice, pastors of Liberty Fellowship in Marion, they left our church to go there and plant a church. Pastor Marquell and Asia Jackson, who pastor a great church here in Florence, Mount Sinai Church. They were here for many years. We knew all along the day would come. We would send them out to plant a church or to pastor. Virginia McDaniel at Hope Christian Center in Darlington. I could go on and on. We've helped people plant. The most exciting two words in the English language were church planting. And so we, and Brian alone, he doesn't even know how many churches he has helped pastors plant or strengthen or train their leaders. And then we bring a network of ministry partners, and I am wrapping it up, and everybody said, oh, thank you for that. Today we're as involved as we've ever been in home missions and global missions. That's the reason we live. That's the reason we exist. And some of our ministry partners, just some, not all, but today we are partnering with OM Ships Ministries, Miles and Patty Taves right here, one of the great missions organizations in the world. You know about their ships. They have two now, go all over the world and bring humanitarian aid, educational aid, and the gospel. It's a beautiful. Why should we buy a boat when they, let's just help them keep theirs going. It's wonderful. And then Evangel Fellowship International, that one ministry has missionaries in 26 nations, and we support them every month. Even to the local, we have Caring Hearts of the PD, Sister Pat Quillen, who loves and helps the most desperate people right here at home, the homeless shelters, the Hope Health, the Red Cross. I mean, anybody who helps people when they're desperately in need of help, we want to be a part of that. So God has put a beautiful ministry network together with our missions partners, and it's a wonderful thing to see. Well, stand if you will, and I'll close with a dismissal. And I'll get your help on it, if you don't mind. As you're standing, would the prayer team come, if you would? The men and women who are available in just 1 minute to minister to any needs you have in your life. But since we began with this verse, and today is all about giving God glory for all he's done in the church, we want to close again with Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is our benediction before we close in prayer. And I'd like for all of you to read it out loud with me. read it out loud, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Bow your heads. There are some of you who need prayer and you need it before you leave here. Some of you need to hear a word from God. You need that spoken into your life. Some of the greatest things that ever happens here in our services takes place as soon as we dismiss and the prayer team prays for your needs. So if you have a need in your life, in any area of your life, then we offer a prayer of agreement and the word of the Lord spoken into your situation, into your life, in just a moment. Father, thank you for your goodness to your people. The world can take one look at us and they know immediately that our God takes good care of his children. So we honor you on this day. We thank you for giving life to abundant life. We thank you for this great church family, and we just cover every man, every woman, every young person connected, associated through membership or friendship with our church family. We pray protection and provision. We pray for clarity to hear the word of the Lord. We pray for boldness of faith. We thank you that that small thing that you're up to in somebody's life right now, it's such a small thing right now, but that you're not going to leave it that way. It's going to grow and increase. It's going to grow up and become greater. And so we release the small thing now to grow into a new season in each of our lives. We thank you for being good to us like you are. We sanctify this altar now. And we dignify this place. We consecrate this place. And we call it a place where heaven and earth come together and the needs of your people are met in prayer. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us on a special day. We dismiss you to go. If you have a need for prayer, please come and receive a prayer of agreement before you leave. Have a blessed week.